We're going to begin tonight a kind of a recap of the thematic scripture that was interwoven throughout our entire series called More. And we're going to culminate tonight this entire series with coming to the table of communion. But we're going to pick it up here at Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. Everybody say power. Yeah, I feel like the stuffing has overwhelmed you. Say power. All right, not bad getting there. All right, through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. How many were filled this Thanksgiving meal, or meals for some of you, multiple meals, multiple desserts, multiple rounds at your dinner table, whatever it was. But beyond that you be full, not full of it, but full of God. How many want to be full of God? Five of you, how many want to be full of God? It's not a trick question. We want God, all of God for us. That's why we come to worship. That's why we pray. That's why we read. That's why we give our lives to Christ, that we can be full of Christ. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let me start you with this. God loves us. Turn to the person next to you. Turn to them and say, God loves you. Yeah, and God loves me. Every one of us. And he is a generous God, the God of more than enough. I know many people already, as they were making plans for Black Friday, they were checking out the sales. How many of you ventured out into Black Friday? Be honest. Okay, a few of you. You guys are crazy. But you got pretty good deals, I'm sure. My friends, Pastor Camille's son, Pastor Key's brother, Cavett, and his band of brothers for the last 5 years, right, Pastor Camille? They're on the news every year. I tell you what, they're the first people in line at Best Buy. You've been to Best Buy right here? The one, the tent that's the first in line, that's them. They camp out a week ahead of time. I tell Cavett, Loaf, and all those guys, yeah, Capone, I'm like, you guys have lives? But there are like about 15 of them that just rotate 24 hours a day for 7 days ahead of everybody else, and they've been doing it for 5 years, all to get the best deals. I'm like, one of these days, can you buy me something, all right? But God is a generous God. God is more than enough. And he can supply all of your needs through his riches and glory. And I think sometimes when we look at our life, we come from a poverty mindset. I want to tell you what, let's come from an overflow mindset. That whatever need that you have, God is more than enough to touch that need and to overflow his presence, his healing, his blessing in your life so that you can touch others around you. That's why we have the Adopt a Ohana program. That's why we have people serving in community. That's why we have many of you serving on serve teams. If you serve on a serve team, give a shout. Come on. Yeah. Because God is more than enough to supply your needs and for you to be a blessing to others. Can I hear amen? One such person in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, was so touched by the love of Christ that not only was her sins forgiven, but she was healed and set free from the sins of her past. So let's pick it up here. Out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. And it's a long passage of scripture, so hang on, all right? Hang on. It's going to be a great time tonight. One of the Pharisees asked to eat with him. Jesus was asked to dine with one of the Pharisees. And so Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. In that time, culturally, they didn't sit at tables. They actually laid down and ate lying down. Now, that'd be awesome. I wish I could do that now. Woo, baby, if I had my turkey leg with my leg up in the air and just pouring the stuffing and gravy all over my face, that would be awesome. Okay, I know that's a gross picture. Verse 37, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman that is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. We've all been called that. We've been called worse in some other parts of our life. But we all are sinners until we come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Jesus knew his thoughts. He knew what was going on in this Pharisee's mind. And he answered, say it, teacher. Verse 41, a certain moneylender has two debtors. One owed 500 denarii. A denarii is one day's wage. And the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence already established in worship because you said you inhabit the praises of your people. I pray right now that you, by your power of your Spirit, you would illuminate your word, Lord, tonight. I pray, Lord God, even as we encounter your presence, Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts. Lord, bring healing, bring restoration, bring reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Before I continue, I just feel prompted of the Holy Spirit. How many of you here right now are facing a health challenge right now? You're sick, you're under the weather. Anybody here? Raise your hand. Okay, keep them up. Let's pray right now. I'm going to take a pause right now, but I just sense the Holy Spirit here. Lord, you said in your word, by your stripes, we are healed. And Lord, whoever is facing, Lord God, a health challenge right now, sick, Lord God, a cold. We have several people facing and battling pneumonia. Lord, I pray you bring your healing power right now. We speak to the spirit of infirmity and we tell you by the name of the authority of Jesus Christ, back off of your people. Lord, and I pray right now that your people would rise, Lord God. They would come with a vitality in their bones, in their heart, and in their mind, that you bring your healing power right now in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, touch them. We believe, Lord God, we thank you for your healing power. And Lord, all across our Ohana, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. As we open tonight, only through Jesus Christ are we able to be set free. Only through a relationship with Jesus Christ can you be set free from your past, from your guilt, from your sin, from the strongholds that the enemy may have in your life. You can be free, but it only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the three characters in these passages of Scripture. First of all, we see the Pharisee. Obviously, we know it's Simon, the teacher, a good man, the Bible says, a religious man, a man who had a relationship with Jesus, who was known to be a kind and generous man in society. But here he was opening his house and he wanted Jesus to come in. Now, some people and theologians think it was a place to kind of show Jesus off to the rest of the community, to actually set himself apart from everybody else. But we know Jesus and Simon had a friendship. They had a relationship. So seeing Jesus in his house shouldn't have surprised anybody. But as this woman came in to their dinner, so to speak, their meal, This woman was judged by Simon. Because in his thoughts, he said, doesn't Jesus know that this woman is a sinner? Doesn't Jesus know about her reputation in the city, in the community? Doesn't he know that she shouldn't be in this place? And so here, Simon the Pharisee labeled this woman. How many of you have been labeled in life before? By society, by your family, by your friends, by your coach, by people around you. Maybe tonight the labels of your past are still clinging on to your soul. But tonight I believe that by the power of Jesus Christ, those labels can come off. And Jesus can put a new label that you are my son, you are my daughter, in Jesus' name. Can I hear amen? He believed that this woman had no hope. Her reputation, her lifestyle, her sinful past would continue all throughout her life. And he actually said, this woman has no hope. And why is she even here? Let's talk about this woman. Some theologians believe she's Mary Magdalene. John, in the Gospel of John, her name is mentioned. In Mark, and in this passage, her name is not mentioned. It's just a woman, a sinner, a person of the night, or as people would know in that community, she was a prostitute. Her lifestyle, to sell her body to people around her for in order to make a living. And here she was having access to this meal. Verse 37 says, behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. She brought her most precious thing in her life. Bible says it was 300 denarii, meaning it was a year's wage. Everything that she earned, she brought it before Jesus so that she could present something of worth. And all that she had and accumulated in life, she could give it to Jesus. She was marked and labeled by those who were present, by the Pharisees, by the other people in that place. She was marked by society, by her lifestyle. But I wonder this, and I've often wanted to read between the lines of Scripture. I always wonder this, if these were noble people that were in the house, how did a prostitute make her way into that house? Makes you think, right? Come on now, let's not be so holy over here. Because they're like, I don't know how she got in. Maybe she got through a back door. Maybe she came in like a server. You like how the movies, right? She put on the server garment and she came in. No, she had access right to the front door. I tell you what, the hidden lines of Scripture were probably saved because some of those people, knew her. Relax, everybody, okay? Relax. Everybody's getting tense. Relax. Everybody take a deep breath. Breathe out. Relax. Relax. She had access to this meal. She had access to the dinner. She had access to the people. She had access to the house. But I love this. She didn't come in with pride. She actually came with humility. She came in bearing her most precious thing in her life. All of her life was wrapped up in this one box, this alabaster box. And the reason why, because she knew Jesus was in this house. Now, I can imagine probably this woman saw Jesus around in the communities. Jesus came into this town and went to a different town and came back. I'm sure she saw Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead. I'm sure she saw something in Jesus that interested her. Something that in the world she had a life of no hope. She was an outcast in society. But in Jesus, she saw a man that would love her. She saw a man that could heal her. She saw a man that could set her free. And so she came in with a posture of humility. Says, Jesus is here. And while Jesus was eating, Jesus was mistreated. The man of the hour. In Jewish custom, when you would enter someone's home, your feet was actually washed by the servants. But Jesus' feet in this meal was not washed. The place of honor, and yet they didn't treat him with honor. But this woman saw, and Scripture says she let down her hair. In society, that was actually not the norm. And if you let your hair down, the Bible says, and Jewish culture says that you could actually, if you let your hair down in public for a woman, you could actually be divorced by your husband. Because it was a sign of shame. Now all the ladies are putting their hair up now. No. Exactly. In that Jewish culture, if you had long hair, yeah, and you had it down, you could actually, in the marriage covenant, your husband could divorce you if you let your hair down in public. That was a Jewish culture. She came in with humility. She came in with bearing nothing except the most precious thing she knew, and all she could think, here is Jesus. Here is Jesus, the man that could love me, the man that could accept me, a man that could take my sins and wipe them away and give me a new life, as we sang here earlier. The third person is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus Christ, the only source of hope for this woman, the only person that could remove the burden of her past, of her sins, of her shame, and of her guilt, and remove all of that, and be able to forgive her and to be able to set her free. Jesus is the hope of the world. Next month, in a few days, we start making our way toward Christmas. Not about the gifts and the presents and the family get-togethers. No, this whole holiday season is about Jesus Christ, His arrival. And we're going to start that series next week. That He has come to give us life and life abundantly. He has come to seek and to save the lost. Can I hear amen? And this woman was lost. This woman was dead to her sin. And Jesus came to give her life, and to give her life abundantly. You know, now with everything happening in media, in Hollywood, in politics, you know, you see the scandals that are happening, right? You see the news almost every day. There's another producer, another artist, another politician being wrapped up in a sex scandal, inappropriate touching, all of those things. Okay, that's what we're facing, and it's getting more rapid. And more rampant, I should say, right? Okay, our heads are not buried in the sand. Things are happening all across media. People are getting accused, actors and actresses and producers, directors, politicians, everybody. But I go back to our President Clinton. How many remember this name? Monica Lewinsky. We remember her. In 1995, 96, served as an intern on President Clinton's staff. And as President Clinton would say, he called it inappropriate relationship. What the heck is that, President? All right, we look at President Trump. We look at producers. We look at the co-founder of Pixar. That news just broke. All right, the producers that do these big kids movies, and the co-founder is now caught in the scandal. And his face and name is all over the news. Well, Monica Lewinsky, let's talk about her. Because she probably was feeling the same thing that this woman was in the house. She lived in the shadow of public shame. In a recent Newsweek article, she said this, "I felt like every layer of my skin and my identity were ripped off of me in 1998 and 1999. It felt like a skinning of sorts. You feel incredibly raw and frightened, but I also feel like the shame sticks to you like tar." That moment with President Clinton, those inappropriate behavior. All right, let's just call it. It was sex, okay? And here we find that because of that moment, her life has been labeled. And nobody wants to touch her. Nobody wants to deal with her. And so she feels like an outcast of society in our modern day, as it were. But I love this about where she's at now. In order to remove the label or the stigma off of her life, what is she doing now? She's turning it all around. And she's now the face. She's now the vanguard and leading the charge on cyberbullying. She's now taken the shreds of her life and turning it around saying, I have to make something good of my life. I'm wondering if there's someone alongside of her preaching the gospel to her. I wonder if another Christian has come along the side of her and encouraging her, because that's a very hard thing to turn your life around from. worldwide publicity. Your life is in ruins, and all of a sudden, over years, the healing process is happening in her life, and now she's turning that hurt, that pain, into something good. Same thing with this woman. She knew that she was labeled as a sinner. She knew that she had no hope, but the only person that could save her, that could give her hope, was Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in that position here tonight. Maybe you've been looking at your life and there's no hope. Maybe someone invited you here for the very first time and you've been looking at the history of your life and says, my life can't amount to anything. I don't have anything in life to offer society. I don't have anything to offer my family. Maybe someone labeled you like that. No good. You're outcast. You've been discarded on the side. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ can give you hope. Jesus Christ can give you life. Jesus Christ can heal you. Can I hear an amen? Scripture says in Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The benefit of that freedom should lead you to holiness. When you come into relationship with Christ, the Bible says, do not continue to sin. Do not let the past hold you bondage. You break free from that by the power of God, and that should lead you to a life of holiness, and the result is eternal life. Reason why we can say yes to God, because he first loved you. Reason why we can respond to his love, because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin, for my sin. And our heart's response is to live a life of holiness. Can I hear amen? When you come to Christ, he offers forgiveness of sin and eternal life. This alone should bring us to a place of gratitude and thankfulness. That's why I say, Thanksgiving isn't just one day. Last week I said Thanksgiving seems to be the forgotten holiday. Especially in Western civilization, we have forgotten how to be thankful. Even in the littlest things in our life, we've forgotten how to be thankful. Maybe in our relationships, we take people for granted. Maybe the air that we breathe, we take for granted. The car that we drive, we take for granted. This building that we sit in, this AC is just a little warmer today on purpose, because I heard many of you guys are freezing. So I made it a little warmer here tonight. But now I'm sweating. But the things in life, do we take it for granted? Do we realize that Christ gives us everything? And through a relationship with Christ, we have everything. And we're free from sin. We're free from the past. We're free from the bondage of being held in the prison of sin. And our response is to live a life of holiness. Jesus paid our debt. Our debt should be for us. Because of our sin, should have been death for us. Separation from God. A life doomed to hell, if I can say that. And sometimes we forget that there is only going to be heaven or hell in eternity. And I want to encourage you, if you don't yet have a relationship with Christ, give your life to Christ, because he will give you a life, abundant life, more than you can even ask or think of. When we realize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross for us, that God sent his only begotten Son to this fallen world to redeem it, to rescue us. Our heart's response is to say, God, because of your love, Lord, we love you. We love you. We want to do everything we can in our life to honor you, to glorify you, to live a life of holiness as best as we can, Lord God, through your grace. That should be our heart's response. Sometimes, let's face it, we take our life for granted. We really do. Sometimes, like I said earlier, we take this building for granted. Imagine what would happen if all of a sudden the police came in and raided us and say, well, guess what? You're going to have to shut down. You're going to be like China. You're going to have to go into small groups. And if you're not in a small group, good luck finding a small group. But if you're in a small group, great thing that you're in a small group. Can I hear amen? The things that we can take for granted in a moment can be taken away. But if we live with a heart of gratitude, with a heart of thankfulness, whatever we have can be used for the glory of God. Only in Jesus Christ are we able to remain free. Not only does He set us free, but in Jesus Christ we can remain free. Verse 47 says, therefore I tell you, here is Jesus Christ, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. But he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Jesus was saying to the woman, in essence, you're free. You're free from your past. Now live in freedom. You no longer have to be a slave to your sin. You no longer have to be a slave to your guilt, to your shame. You are free. And the woman's response as she left, and I wish Scripture would follow her. If this was Mary Magdalene, great. Because she was one of the few that stayed with Jesus through the crucifixion and through the resurrection. This woman, if it was Mary, was one of the first people to see Jesus Christ after he resurrected. So that means if this person was Mary in this passage of Scripture, she stayed free. She remained free. She continued to pursue Jesus. In your relationship with Christ, are you pursuing him? Are you continuing to remain free in your life? Or are you being held with the bondage of sin? When you come into relationship with Christ, he wants to give you freedom. And he wants you to remain free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
I wish we could do that Braveheart. Freedom! Okay, that might scare all of you. There is freedom. So that means if there's God is with you, Jesus Christ is in your life, and you're committed to following him, there is freedom. Not freedom to sin and do whatever you want and follow your own desires, but to follow him and to have freedom so that you can live a life full of his presence, full of joy, full of peace. Many of my people that I come into conversations and counsel, some of them say, Pastor, I feel plagued in my mind. I feel like I can't move forward in life. I tell them this all the time. Are you abiding with Christ? Are you in his word? Are you praying? Because if you're not, let's start there first. As you develop your faith with him, in his word, in prayer, in worship, trust me, you're going to get free. And if you continue to do that, you're going to remain free. Can I hear amen? And finally this. Only through Jesus Christ are we able to help others become free. Only in Jesus Christ, when we are free, we can help others be free. Our mission on this earth is to help others. It's not about ourselves. The reason why our team is out in the community every week is not just to give a handout, right, Pastor Camille? It's not just to give a meal. It's not about that. That might be the open door. But our team that's on the ground, the people that you're reaching in your family, in your at work, on the campus, your friends, all of that, serving them and loving them is in order to get the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can get free from sin. And as the presence and love of Christ captures their heart, they can remain free. And our mission on this earth, while we still yet have breath, is not about Black Friday. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, don't feel guilty. All right. Next time, okay, and remember me. All right. It's not about the things and trappings of this life. Our focus should be on eternity. How are we living our lives in honor and glorifying him so that when we leave this life and we step into eternity, the words of Jesus, the words of God said to our lives, be well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not well done, you were first in line at Best Buy. Sorry, Cabot. All right. Well done, you got the best deals. Even at Macy's, you were gracious to the person. No. I'm sorry. People are getting a little uncomfortable here. Relax. All right. It's well done, thou good and faithful servant. Did you share my love to someone? Did you share my presence with someone? especially in the next 5 weeks of this year, I want us to rally all of us together in sharing the love of Christ. That is the greatest gift of all. That is the greatest gift of all. Scripture says, Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work, your labor of love, and the love that you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. The things that you do behind the scenes that are not put on the video. Many of you will not make our Grace in Action video. But God sees you praying for people. God sees you spending your time and resources and energy in loving them who are far from Christ and loving them into relationship with Christ. God loves and sees you when you break your time schedules in your life to go across town somewhere and pray with someone. To go get to your grace group and invite someone into your grace group that's new for the very first time so that they can come into a loving community of brothers and sisters. Can I hear a strong amen? God sees your work. God sees your labor of love. God sees your sacrifice. And trust me, he will not forget. And he will reward you for your love. Closing scripture, Matthew 10:8. Jesus Christ, Jesus is calling his disciples, about to send out his disciples. And he's commissioning them to do the work. And scripture says that he tells his disciples and to us, greater works shall you do even more than I did on this earth. And he commissions them to go and preach the gospel and to go out to the cities and towns and spread the good news. We pick it up here at verse 8. Your mission is to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And I love this phrase. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. That to me is our missional call these next 5 weeks going into 2018. Freely as you have received of the Lord, his joy, his salvation, his peace, his presence, freely give that away. Because God sees your work and he sees your love. And he will reward you because he's God of more than enough. This life is exciting. Following Christ is not boring. It is more exciting than anything else in the world. Trust me. I tell the staff this, and Pastor Norman tells the staff this. Pastor Camille says this way too much, I think. She says, if God tells me to quit right now and step into the marketplace, I'm there. I'm like, I'm right behind you. Tony as well. All of us as pastors, we're not tied to this, the title. If God told me right now, hey, go back into the marketplace, go back to working at Delta Airlines, what I did for several years, and I was pretty successful at it, I would be like, right on, I'm there. No problem. If God told me, hey, tell you what, go work for the city and county, I might have to think about that. Just playing. What are we doing with our lives? What are we dedicating ourselves to? In the next 5 weeks, are we loving people? Are we depositing the love of Christ to people around us? Tonight, we're going to close with this. My guest spot and guest testimony is Debbie Sakamoto. Can we welcome her to the stage? Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Have a seat. I just actually met Debbie several months ago, and my first encounter, I kind of saw her around, but my first encounter with you was in the multipurpose room 2, and it was in between at our youth conference, our Every Nation youth conference, and then I was kind of fellowshipping with the staff there and a team of volunteers, a serve team there, and then I ran into you, and first of all, can I be honest, I didn't tell you this. We're going to have an honest moment. When I first saw Debbie, okay, don't be offended, I went, oh, wait, this conference is for young people. Who are you? I'm sorry. And I said, wow, right on, all right.
I had the same thought.
But here you were serving, and then we struck up a conversation. I got to know you just a bit, and you graduated from the upper campus.
Yes.
Come here, you know, hold the mic
we
up.
We would watch Pastor Norman, you know, from
the hold the mic up.
We would watch Pastor Norman from the upper campus.
Lower campus. I know we have some governors in the house. You know, I'm from the middle campus, okay? I'll let that go. I was on the middle of the mountain. But you grew up kind of with a religious mindset. You grew up kind of raised in a Christian household. Your father was a pastor. Yeah, kind of tell us about your upbringing.
My father was a pastor at small Hawaiian churches. He had served in Honoka'a. This is before my time. He served in Honoka'a. He served in Waikane. And when I was born, he was at Imiola Church in Kamuela on the Big Island. And when his time there was done, the company wanted him to move to Kalaupapa. And my mother said, over her dead body, were we going to move to Kalaupapa? So he declined that one, and that's kind of like saying no to God. And so from there, he actually became inactive as a minister. I mean, he was a minister his whole life. He would do weddings and, you know, baptism and things like that, but yeah, so he never served another church.
Yeah, so you saw all the trappings of what it is to kind of be a Christian, but
yes.
I mean, you said this, it was more of a religious duty.
It was, and Pastor Norman, as he speaks it, I got sent to Sunday schools, I was in a number of churches, and we did religious things, but I never had a relationship with Christ, with God at all.
Yeah. So fast forward. So you lived this life. You worked in American Savings for over 30 years. And so life just kind of moved on.
Yes.
But then you came into our pros at Ohana kind of a different way. Describe to us what happened.
I did. My daughter was actually attending this church. And once she really became a part of it, or it became a part of her. Then she kept bugging me to come. You know, you gotta come try.
What's your daughter? What's your stand? This is your daughter?
Yes.
Yeah, what's your stand? We do all kind of things on Saturday night.
It's illegal.
Yeah, give her a hand. There you go. So we have found many families come to Christ or come to our Pearl Side Ohana through their children. The heart of a parent is their child.
Yes.
And so you took up her invitation. You came.
Finally, on Christmas, thinking I was going to be a CEO, you know. So we decided, okay, we'll go. And I came here in Christmas last year. And it was my first time. And I just felt a presence here that was unlike any other church that I've ever been to. And I have been coming ever since.
Wow. And so you told me, you shared with me that your heart was touched by the love of Christ at our Christmas services.
Right.
And that you came back the next week at our Sunday evening service.
Yes. Because being New Year's Day, you know, you're busy. Yeah. My husband's Japanese family, so we're really busy with the traditional New Year things. So we came to Sunday evening service, and so happened that Pastor Tim was preaching at that service, and it was then he had done an altar call, and it was then that I had made my decision that I wanted to just move on. I really felt the connection. And so as soon as service was over, my daughter and I, we signed up for the
growth track.
Yeah. And we went to the gospel track, the gospel class the very next Sunday, and all the way through the discipleship track.
And from then on, you never missed. You've been faithful.
Yes.
And then, you know, you immediately jumped in beyond the classes. You started to jump in and serve. And,
yes.
But God was working in your heart, you know, from then to now. It's almost a year now. You're coming to your 1 year anniversary of really following Jesus Christ.
Yes.
How have you seen your love for Him grow?
Well, going through the growth track and the discipleship track, and I learned so much and so many questions. I never had a connection, you know, with Christ until I came here, and then it was boom. And because I had a lot of foundation throughout my entire life, some of it was easy to grasp. And and I just wanted to. God has been so good to me my whole life. I mean, I didn't give him credit for it, but he's been good to me my whole life and very good to me since I've been here. And it became very natural for me to just want to pour it back out and in gratitude for all that he has done.
So you got involved, and you of course, yeah. You're retired, and so you got involved yes. In our serve teams.
I did. I think the first thing that I actually served at was my group leader asked me to help out at an Arise class, and I have helped out at every Arise class since then. And then I joined the Bulletins ministry, and Bulletins, and now there's not much to do in Bulletins, not it was in the old days, you know, with the monthly bulletin. But what we do afterwards is we come on Fridays, we do the chair backs, and then we have time. We go over to kids' church and we help them, mm-hmm. You know.
So our conversation, I love this phrase, and this struck with me, that's why I wrote it down. You said, your heart has grown in so much ways that you want to serve in any way possible.
Yes.
And you said this phrase that struck me, is I'm getting old, so I want to do whatever I can.
Right. Well, what happens is I serve in cafe every week, you know, and Sundays. And I volunteered at the youth conference. I volunteered at the Global Leadership Summit mm-hmm. and the Discipleship Summits and so on and so forth and many things. And I mean, Uncle Bill scolds me sometimes and says, you know, you got to take it easy. Don't burn yourself out and, you know, don't volunteer too much and that kind of thing. I said, you know, don't scold me because I'm getting old. and one day I'm not going to be able to serve. So, you know, let me have fun while I can.
And you're involved in so many different areas. Well, here's the million-dollar question. And I think I want to hear, and I want people to hear, is why do you do it? Why do you serve? I mean, you know Christ loves you. You came into relationship with him because of his love. And now because of that, you're pouring out. But why? Why do you sacrifice your time, your energy? You're involved in so many different areas. Why?
At any given moment in any day, God is working in all of our lives, you know, at the same time. And he's doing so much in all of us, whether we realize it or not. For us, there is 168 hours in a 7-day, you know, week. Okay? To serve and to sacrifice a few hours of my own time is nothing compared to what he's done for me and for all of us.
And so you got involved and you're serving, and God's blessed you. You give
Anytime.
Financially as well. I mean, you blessed.
Yes, he did.
You gave scholarships to our young people to
yes,
go to
did.
The conference. I mean,
yes.
And I love this, what you said. It flows naturally. It's not that I have to.
No,
but it's
I want
what,
to.
You
I mean,
want
it's
to.
Just want to.
Yeah. And I tell you what, every time I come, I mean, she's here Sunday morning before I am. And with a smile, and she's serving in all of the services, and just loving people, and I'm so grateful and of your story, and what God has done in your life. Now you're just giving it away to other people as well, and so thank you so much for that. What would you say, a parting shot? Maybe, obviously, someone might be here and say, you know, I don't have time. Where do I find time to give? And or maybe I don't have anything to offer. What would you say to them to encourage us tonight?
I would say anyone can serve in any capacity. You know, God is always looking for someone to help, to return his love for you. Start small. Once a week, once a month, do something simple. And if it, you know, try it out and it doesn't work, then there's many of other things that, you know, you can be done. You know, plenty of places to serve. Kids' church, greeters, parking, anywhere. Anywhere in Welcome Ministry.
How can we say no to you? How can we say no to God?
you know, I would encourage you. The reason why Debbie does this is because she loves the Lord. Me? I'm sorry. There you go. I'll lean forward. You do this because
yes.
God loves you. And you want to see other people encounter His love.
Yes.
And so we thank you. We thank you to all the people who serve behind the scenes. So can we get it up for Debbie? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. In closing, if I may have the worship team join me on stage. We have communion. We're going to come to the table of communion. And in this moment, we remember His sacrifice for us. And we should have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness to His sacrifice. And our response should be, Lord, what can I do for You? Lord, because of Your love for us, how can I live my life to glorify You? And the question to all of us, including myself, is what are we doing with our life? Maybe you might feel like the woman has nothing, has no hope. Maybe your past has been labeled. But as you come into relationship with Christ and you open up your heart to His love, He can change all of that. Not only does He want to remove the stains of the past, He wants to restore and renew your life. And today you might be here for the very first time, or you can have been checking us out. Debbie was doing religious duties. Until she came into a relationship with Christ, her whole perspective changed. And I'm hoping that that's our heart, that as we come into a relationship with Christ, our perspective changes. If you peel off that first layer revealing the bread representing Jesus' beaten and bruised, broken body, the stripes on His back, the nails in His body, all of that was for you, was for me, so that we could be redeemed into relationship with His Father. And so, Lord God, we thank You, Lord. We remember Your sacrifice, Your love, even as our thematic scripture, this is how high, how wide, how deep is Your love for us. And sometimes in the cacophony of life, in the doldrums of life, we forget. Lord, tonight we remember, Lord God, Your sacrifice, Your love for us. We don't take it for granted, Lord God. And if we do, forgive us, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for taking You for granted, for this life that You give us for granted. And we repent. But Lord God, we ask that You restore us back, Lord God. We thank You, Lord. Please partake of the bread. Would You peel off that second layer revealing the cup representing the shed blood of Jesus Christ poured out for us, forgiving our sins as the blood was poured out. Our sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. And He gives us eternal life. He cleanses us. He gives us hope. He gives us a future through His blood. But tonight, even beyond that, maybe you've been in the doldrums of life. Maybe you've been just kind of walking, meandering in this life. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would encounter you afresh. Maybe for some of you, you lost that first love. You've kind of been going on automatic. Maybe tonight, God wants to kind of recalibrate your life once again to say, focus on Me. Follow Me. Let My love penetrate your life. Holy Spirit, come. As we partake of this cup, Lord, let a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit come. But even now, we thank You, Lord, for Your shed blood. But Lord, even beyond that, Lord, we thank You for the resurrecting power of Your Spirit, Lord. We thank You in Jesus' name. Please partake. Would you please stand? And just for a few minutes, could we just worship God? And the song we sang earlier, can we just for a moment put the things that we have to do aside? Okay. The mall will stay open for you. The restaurants will stay open for you. But right now, can I invite you to take a little step closer to His presence, to receive of His love? For some of you, it's been a while. His love saturating your heart, saturating your soul, your mind. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit comes and wraps us with His love tonight. Amen. Can we sing?